The next chapter, chapter 4, the 17th century after the restoration, 1660 to 1700. The first topic of the chapter, the restoration comedy of manners. Introduction. Bonamy Daubry points out that in the history of dramatic literature, there are some period which are predominantly comic and some which are definitely tragic. Tragedy generally flourishes when religious, moral and social values are more or less fixed and positive and comedy. When they are uncertain and fluid, the age of Aeschylus, Shakespeare and Corneille were the period of the dominance of tragedy, and those of Aristophanes, Jonson and Moliere that of comedy. The Restoration period likewise was a comic period, as to use the word of Daubry. In noted comma, it was an age of inquiry and curiosity. Things like sexual morality came to be examined, and new conclusion, mostly tentative, came to be expressed. Comedy was thrown into a more scientific and literary prosaic mold, and the imaginative fight of the Elizabethan and the bizarre poetry of the metaphysicals were discarded in favor of a down-to-earth kind of expression. The Restoration age was marked by the establishment of this Royal Society and a great expansion of scientific knowledge. In many departments of life and literature, his scientific spirit of inquiry and disbelief was abhorred. His temper and spirit of the age found appropriate expression in comedy, whereas in the field of tragedy, the age has none of so expect outweigh as a true master. In the field of comedy, it present a galaxy of brilliant writers whose works has made this age one of the most splendid in the annals of English drama. The comedy of manners. Chiefly, the Restoration age is associated with the rise and development of what is called the comedy of manners. The kind of comedy was indeed a true mirror of the temper and the outlook of the society, rather a section of the society of the age. But it will be a gross error to suppose that the comedy of manner was only kind of comedy written and appreciated in this age. The chief practitioner of the comedy manner were, first, Sir George Etherege, 1635 to 1691, second, William Wycherley, 1640 to 1715, third, William Congreve, 1617 to 1729, fourth, Sir John Vanbrugh, 1661 to 1626, and fifth, George Farquhar, 1678 to 1707. The comedies written by these playwrights, says Daubry in a noted comma, form but a infinitesimal portion of the many comedy produced during these years. Their comedy of manner, says the same critic, did not by any means dominate the world of the theater. It was rivaled by many other forms which proved as popular, if not more popular, with contemporary audience. The other forms of comedy were mainly the comedy of humor and the comedy of interviews. Whereas Sadwell made his mark in the form kind Dryden, Tat, Durfew, and same other achieved notable success in the latter. Let us now examine the silent feature of the comedy manner and see how it differ from Elizabethan comedy. Shaping influence. Whereas throughout its long career, English tragedy has always accepted foreign influences. English comedy has been less amenable to them. But the Restoration comedy of manner did assimilate a good deal of the continental spirit. John Wilcox, in The Relation of Muller and the Restoration Comedy, has tried to dispel the belief that Restoration Comedy was substantially influenced by French comedy. Even then, it is certain that Muller was held in much respect by Restoration dramatists. He provided them with quite a few ideas about plot and effective comic characterization. The strong element in introduced in the plot is due in some measure to the influence of Spanish drama. As regards the influence of the preceding master of comedy and restoration comedy, it is of interest to note that Jonson, Beaumont and Fletcher stand in the forefront, whereas Shakespeare is relegated to the background. Restoration comedy lacks the warmth and the depth of the Elizabethan comedy, but on the side of credit is also askew its extravagance and lack of realism. Shakespeare's plays were out of favor in this age. Samuel Pepys recorded in his diary that once he attained a performance of Shakespeare, A Midsummer Night Dream, but he did not like it at all, for it is the most uninspired play that ever I saw in my life. Another diarist of the age, Evelyn, in the same tone, criticized Shakespeare's tragedy Hamlet. I saw Hamlet played, but now the old plays begin to disgust this refined age, since His Majesty's being so long abroad. Unlike the romantic Shakespeare, Ben Jonson and Beaumont and Fletcher were respected and appreciated by both and dramatists and audience of the age. Ben Jonson thought the comedy writers are saints and hard realism combined with a hard-hitting satirical temper. Beaumont and Fletcher bequeathed them a courtly spirit. Jonson was directly and even duly copied by his sons, like Sadwell, but he had also to teach the writers of the comedy of manner quite a few things. Bonhomie, Dubarry, Hours in the Connexion, in Rodgama, even the master of the comedy of manner showed that they had learned a part of their art of least from early 17th century playwright Ben Jonson. Rodgama closed. There is some resemblance of approach and effect between the comedy of humor and the comedy of manner. Both are realistic and satiric. A manner is something natural and ingrained. A manner is not so deeply seated and is the product of social influence, which can be easily dated. Humor, on the other hand, are mostly deathless jealousy, greed, sensuality, etc. Manners are the nature of acquired follies and vices. Coterie literature. Coterie literature. The manner which the comedy of manner reveal were not the manner of all classes of restoration society. They are rather the manner of the courtly classes only. Thus, an important difference between Elizabethan and restoration comedy of manner concerned the extent of areas of their appeal. Elizabethan drama was a national affair, and the London of that age supported no fewer than 6 companies of players. But in restoration, London at no time could be found more than 2. The player catered for the taste of only the courtly classes. The playwright themselves were gentlemen, or at least pretender to gentility. Congreve is said to have once told Voltaire that he wished to be regarded not as a literary man but as a gentleman. Dryden complained that the Elizabethan dramatist wit was not the wit of gentlemen. Even Steele asserted that the chief qualification of a dramatist was to be a very well-bred man. Thus, the comedy of manner was written by gentlemen or for gentlemen and about gentlemen. According to Archer, this very quality was a fatal weakness of restoration comedy, which, as he puts it, was essentially courtly talk craved up to the pitch of the particular and the narrow set. P. A. W. Collins, in his essay on restoration comedy in The Pelican Guide of English Literature, Volume 4th, ours, in inverted comma, the presence of the upper class at that the center of the comic action marked by Restoration comedy formed its procedures. Traditionally, comedy dealt with lower class person, and one of the limitations which the Restoration found in Elizabethan comedy was its poor showing in gentlemen. The Restoration comedy of manner concentrated on the activities intrigues, the amorous achievement of gay, frivolous, ruckus type of young men and women. Not comma closed. Restoration comedy essays and alardize Nicole in British drama in noted comma. Wholly aristocratic, the manners displayed being not those of men in general, such as Johnson showed in his Homer, but the affectation and culture veneer, the finer society, for the these men manner was not a trait native to an individual but a quality acquired by him from social intercourse. Closed. Realism, social analysis and satire. Unlike the Elizabethan romantic comedy and comedy of manner is characterized by realism, social analysis and satire, its use of prose served to heighten and realistic effect, says a critic on the school of authors, and vacuole idealism entirely disappeared. Their aim was to copy monotonously the manners of domestic life, was and folly were not to be moralized about or ridiculed. They were to be photographed. Realism is everything, morality is nothing. These dramatists held a mirror to the finer society of their age. This fine society, says Alardyce Nicole in inverted comma, thus mirrored in the comedy of manner as it was the society of Charles II's court, was dilettante, careless, intent only on pleasure and amorous intrigues, so that the comedy which depicted it has an air of abandon of morality which is markedly different from the manlier temper of the Elizabethan stage. Note comma closed. The scenes of most comedies of manner is London, more specifically its coffee and chocolate houses, club and gambling houses, which were haunts on the corrupt and the fashionable ladies and gentlemen of the gentlemen of the age. Apart from these ladies, mostly first, and gentlemen, mostly rack, we have as typical characters the foolish country squire, the mill bot, and so on. Love intrigues, clandestine love affair, gossip, character assassination, drinking, gambling, womanizing, and scandal mongering are some of the pursuit of these characters, and as such they provide the staple of the plot. These comedies are thus true picture of the noble society of the age, but they are much more, to quote George Sherburne in A Literary History of England at Albert C. Vaux in inverted comma, Restoration comedy is rather an anatomy of life, not more a representation than a commentary on life and on various social schematism. Further, he says that Restoration comedy is rather less a representation of life than it is a commentary upon manner. This commentary is satirical in its nature. All satire admits of an element of exaggeration, and Restoration comedy is not without it. If we base our ideas regarding the higher society of the Restoration is entirely on the comedy of manner, we will be treading unsafe ground. We have to tone the colors down to arrive at the truth. Immorality. One feature of Restoration comedy which has been often condemned and almost as often defended is its immorality. The following points are worthy of notice in connection with this alleged immorality. First, Restoration Committee held a mirror to the high society of the Restoration Age. The society was immoral, so was image as represented by the committee. Second, the persistent attack on the sanctity of the martial bond made by the committee writers and the parallel advocacy of free love, mainly to cater for the needs of libido, import to the comedy of manner a pronounced immoral note. Third, most comedy writers relished the presentation of scenes and acts suggestive or even clearly indicative of sexual grossness. Fourth, the comic dialogue was bristling with salacious innuendos, the choicest obscenities. OBSCENITIES were put into the mouth of female players who were selected to speak out of epilogues. Fourth, the introduction for the first time is first time of actresses on the stage also lowered the level of morality. These actresses were mostly women of easy virtue. Jimmy Collier was the first who raised his powerful voice against the immorality of Restorationists. Dr. Johnson, Macaulay, Les Stephen, and many more have since followed his lead, even though with not the same fanaticism in his prologue spoken a Drury Lane. 1747, Dr. Johnson writes thus about Restoration comedy writers. Themselves they studied as they felt they writ. Intrigues was plot, obscenity was wit. Wes always found a sympathetic friend. They pleased their age and did not aim to mend. Leslie Stephen says that the comedy of manner is a comedy written by black god for black gods. Lamb maintained that he did not take the immorality of the comedy of manner seriously, as it did not strike him a realistic but only a utopia of gallantry. Dobry and Nicole defend the comedy of manner for almost the same reason: it was immoral because the society is mirrored was immoral. If, says Nicole in inverted comma, we condemn the society of the Restoration Court, we need not thereby condemn the dramatist of that period, inverted comma closed. But a mirror has no power of thinking or feeling of comedy writers did have, and they positively shows that they release immorality, perhaps because it is a passport of success with their restrict audience. Much of their wit is concerned with the expression of insinuation of obscenities. Cuckoldom is the theme dearest of them. The restriction of marriage are their bête noire. Lady killing is glorified, not just represented, as the distinguished mark of a gentleman. Gambling and drinking are made noble pursuit. The hero is always a gentleman, rake, poised and cuckold, a gull or some other gentleman rake. The whole concept of love is anti-romantic and even cynical. The cynicism is also apparent of characterization. All virtuous character, whenever they are represented, are shown as uninteresting fools meant only to be hoodwinked by some clever scoundrel. Plot construction and dialogues. The writers of the comedy of manner gave much more importance of the wit and the polish of their dialogue than to the construction of their plot, which Aristotle thinks is the soul of tragedy and therefore quite important for a comedy too. Some loving interviews provide them with the groundwork of their plot, but they seldom harmonized or even developed their plot with much architectonic skill. The lesson of Ben Jonson in his Sphere was entirely lost. What was important for these playwrights was the dialogue and the individual scenes of episodes. They did not mind incorporating into a comedy numerous plot and subplot. Thus, for instance, Ether's and Comical Revenge has no fewer than 4 plots. These dramatists often looked for guidance of the French comedy writer and Ben Jonson, but they showed no evidence of having learned their architectonic skill. The dialogue in the Comedy of Manners was sought to be made by its writer witty, polished and crisp. The verbal fireworks of this comedy are both pleasing and displeasing. Bonhomie Daubry points out, by the quality of its wit restoration, comedy is immediately dated. It is his persistent attempt to be witty that makes many people regard restoration comedy as tedious, undramatic stuff, during the action of which person come upon the stage to fire off epigram at one another. Though we may now and again find the method tiresome, yet it has its interest and even its beauty. L.C. Knight criticized the Comedy of Manners not because it is immoral, but because it is dull in spite of its constant effort to be witty. The playwrights. The two periods important for the Comedy of Manners were 1668-76 and 1693-1707, because during them most of such comedies were written. The first true practitioner of the Comedy of Manners was Ether's, whose important work include Love in a Tub, See What If She Could, and The Man of Moat and Sir Fopling Flutter. Ether's himself was a courtier and naturally adept at revealing of manner of courtiers. His laughter seized Daubry in Inutkama. Is always that the delight at the being very much alive and is only corrective here and there by accident. Not come close. Ether's lacked the brilliance of and polish of Congreve, but he has a naturalness and airy grace of his own. Wycherleys, Wycherleys, reputation is based upon 4 plays: Love in a Wood, The Gentleman Dancing Master, The Country Wife, and The Plain Dealer. The first 3 of them are after the mode of Ether's. They deal with pops and gallants and seem to revel in their contemptible interviews. The Country Wife is the most indecent of all. However, in The Plain Dealer, Wycherleys emerges in the role of a satirist rather than a reveler, but his real attitude and moral standing are somewhat ambiguous. He lacks the airy wit and ethers, but in plot construction he is much ahead of him. His plots are well harmonized and rebounded entities. Congreve lacks the strength of ethers and Wycherleys. According to Daubry, his whole power is centered on a airiness of fancy and delicacy of daily style eminently adapted to the expression of the conventional conversation of the fine society of his time. According to Henley, he is saved from oblivion by the sheer strength of style. Congreve's most important comedies are The Old Bachelor, The Double Dealer, Love for Love, and The Way of the World. In his comedy, he creates a world of his own. It is a superficial and trivial world, no doubt, but it is interesting, and Congreve knows its ins and outs. Farquhar, Farquhar, wrote some 7 plays, the most outstanding of which are The Recruiting Officer and The Beaux Estrangement. He is much less witty and polished than Congreve. His dialogue is nearer the language of normal conversation. P.A.W. Collins says, if his plays lacks the nicer insight of the Congreve and the modernity of Wycherleys, they are more generally human than their and are the most attractive, as they were long among the most popular of restoration comedies. Farquhar does not flaut moral standard, and in this respect he looks forward to the drama of steel and the succeeding age. Benbers is known chiefly for his comedy The Relapse, The Provoked Wife and The Confederacy. The second name is his masterpiece. The third name is the most immoral. All of them are concerned with unhappy marriage. Weinberg lacks the wit and the elegance of Congreve, but his plots are better constructed, his releases farce and caricature, and lacks the intellectual force of Congreve. Even then, his plays are readable today on account of their genial humor, even though often of the farcical kind. The topic, the restoration comedy of manner, over.